Good evening to all. It's certainly good to see each one of you. Tonight, we are going to be looking at part two of One Lord. Last week, we looked at part one of One Lord, and I just want to do a quick recap and then come back to part two. Last week, we looked at One Lord, Jesus, being fundamental to Christian unity. We, from the beginning, looked at the fact that leadership was key to unity, and respected leadership was respected well in the Garden of Eden until it ended with that human couple, Adam and Eve. Then we also looked at the decline and restoration because Israel continued to not do what God said. And then, of course, out of that decline and restoration, we looked at the prediction of one ruler coming, and that was going to be Jesus. And that Jesus was going to come from King David's family, and Jesus was going to bring peace and unity. And of course, that came with peace and unity between the Gentiles and the Jews. Jesus was going to establish one united kingdom. And then tonight, what we're going to look at in part two of One Lord, we'll look at unity in spite of enemies. That's 3.1. We will also look at the Corinthian example, 3.2. We will look at one authority that we're going to appeal to by the name of our Lord in 3.3. And then, of course, we'll look at other voices. The reason that there are so many divisions, and that's in 3.4. In 3.5, we will look at discernment. It's particularly who are we listening to? Then finally, we'll give a summation of everything that we've talked about as we did last week. Like the Jews of Jesus's time, many people think in earthly and political terms. They look for Jesus to rule with force and thinking that, that way, of course, we're disillusioned. They still see wars and conflicts, pain, suffering, and death. Even within the Christian world, they see strife and division. So the conclusion that they draw, class, is that Jesus never delivered his promised unity. Therefore, he's not reigning. They think that his kingdom will begin later. You'll hear that from some folk. Only after all enemies are gone. Give me just one second. Good evening, Sister Clark. How are you? Blessed, blessed. We're on our way. Glad you're on the call. Their view was really opposite. That view in particular that I just alluded to is opposite rather of the biblical picture, because in Psalms chapter 110, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies my foot, your footstool, rather. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter, rule in the midst of your enemies." No, Psalms 110 was not about worldwide peace during the Messiah's reign. Psalms 110 was fulfilled by Jesus' resurrection and ascension to God's right hand. His people are in his kingdom right now. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, he reigns now in the midst of his enemies. And that is while his enemies continue to resist, Jesus still reigns right now, despite his enemies. You'll notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 through 26, you'll notice terms like after and until. The Bible says then at the final resurrection comes the end when Christ delivers the kingdom of God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. He must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed, church, is death. The final resurrection and judgment will destroy death in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. So then the peace and unity predicted by the prophecies is not about the absence of enemies. The king is enthroned despite raging enemies. He reigns while surrounded by enemies in Psalms 110. Thus, his peace is not with the world at large. Rather, peace and unity are blessings for his own subjects within his kingdom, and that's us. Now, according to prophecy, where would swords be beaten into plowshares at Mountain of the House of God, to which the people from all nations would flow? It is at this Zion that God would ban war among nations. That's prophecy from Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 4. And then in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9, the Bible says, in the prophecy about wolves and lambs and children and cobras, where would such peace and safety take place? They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 24 through 26, with whom would God make his covenant of peace? With those God predicted who shall walk in my rules and be careful to obey my statutes. Class, listen. While knowledge of God would be everywhere, according to Isaiah 11 and 9, peace would be given to those who would respond, those coming to God's holy mountain, those who walked in his rules. Hebrew shows this to be the spiritual mountain, the Mount Zion, the church, those born into God's family and enrolled in heaven, as that's in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. The New Testament proves over and over, church, that these Old Testament prophecies, they came true. The predicted unity is not a forced conformity imposed on the earth's population. Rather, one Lord gives unity to those within his kingdom, and that unity is enjoyed right now, not like it should be, but it is enjoyed. God rules over through his son, over his united spiritual family, because Jesus is our one Lord. This unity is not just any unity of our making, some sort of a treaty on which we come to agreement. That's not what it is. It's not our place to convene a council to define the terms of unity. If you'll notice the wording of Ephesians 4:3, the Bible says, listen, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, what the scripture does not say is significant. It does not say, and it does not give the initiative to us, saying to us, create unity or negotiate unity or work out a formula for unity. Class, our part is not to bring unity into existence. That's not our part. For unity already is for us to maintain what the Spirit already has established. As Ephesians 4 goes on to show us, we nurture that God-given unity by healthy attitudes and cooperation as we grow up in every way into Him, Jesus, who is the head. No question about it. That's what our responsibilities is to do. And that's in Ephesians 4:5. And then in 3:2, I want to talk about that Corinthian example as well. Consider how Jesus, as Lord, solves division in the congregation at Corinth. Jesus had an inspired spokesman. Y'all know who he is. His name is Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. And he addresses the problem of divided loyalties. Each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 1, 10, 12. Paul's answer is to ask the questions. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized into the name of Paul? That's 1 Corinthians 1, 13. No, class, Christ is not divided. He is a singular person, one indivisible Christ. Yes, one Lord. And Jesus himself says to his disciples in Matthew 28, 8 through 10, but you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers, and call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. And I just think it's really important for us to get this in our head, that this unity was called together long before we got here. Jesus died at Calvary for each one of us to be unified in his kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, as for Paul and Apollos, they're not anything, merely servants on a mission. And then in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, the Bible says, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. Was Paul crucified for you? Well, the answer again is obvious. Only Christ, perfect, once for all sacrifice for our sins. That's who was crucified for us. And so that's who our Lord is. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved. Class, listen carefully. There is one Lord. The one Lord is also the one Savior, the one mediator between God and humans. That's 1 Timothy 2:5. He is the all-sufficient answer for any problem, any challenge to unity among Christians. Therefore, Paul's solution for the Corinthians begins by repeatedly emphasizing their Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Listen to verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. One of the things that I just want to take a moment to just talk about, class, is this. One of the things that you heard me talk about this the other night, that when we look at local congregations, Sister Body, it's several local congregations represented here tonight. But there's one Lord. One Lord. That's why I shared with you guys the other night, we need to quit that foolishness talking about this congregation, you know, the east side, and that's us. It's one Lord. We're one body. We might be in different locations, Sister Jameson, but we should all be of the same mind because of that one Lord. And I just hope that what we can get out of this, Brother Theron, is the good that we can do if we would learn to unite, Sister Holcomb, from wherever congregation you are, and do work together for the good and the glory of our one Lord. I submit to you, until we learn to do that, then we can't be the best influence for the world. Y'all know what really just bothers me, and I probably shouldn't say this, is folk in the church acting a fool with each other. It just bothers me. I was raised in a family of 12 kids. And we was raised by a man, Brother Scott. And he would say, now, let me tell y'all something. You got all the people in the town, in the school that you go to fight. If you fight each other, I bet you won't fight anybody else outside of this again. See, he just wasn't having fighting, that internal fighting. And
Right.
he would say, Sister Brown, you are red. Act like one. Y'all know what I'm saying? You're members of the Church of Christ. Act like it. There's one Lord, and he never wanted us to cut up in church. Never did. Paul and him calls himself an Apollos. They're not anything in 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7, but servants. Anio, do you not realize that you're just a servant? Everybody on this call is a servant. We got one Lord. And listen, there's no way to get around it. If you're in your local congregations, I don't care if somebody don't want to get along, Sister Novelette, go get along with them anyhow. Don't let nobody come between you and another brother and sister in Christ. Well, Brother Rich, you know, Sister Glaze said she said something to me, and I just can't get past that. We have one Lord. You got to get past that. This is why we need to learn to unify, because if we had you know 10 or 12 Jesuses, we could be okay with it, but we don't. We got one Lord, and we need to set our hearts on being unified. This wasn't something that just happened by osmosis. From the beginning, it was one Lord, and he intended for all of this to come to fruition. We had one God, and he intended for all of this to come to fruition. We went through all of the prophecies, and it was supposed to end up with Jesus. And it did. That's what it's about. And it just kind of breaks my heart sometimes when I hear people say, you know, so and so and so and so, you know, those two churches, they don't get along. I just want to tell them, like my daddy told us, you're a Church of Christ. What you talking about? How you gonna not get along with a Church of Christ member? You need to quit showing out. I wouldn't say that. Yes, I would. No. If it happened at Heartland, I'd say it. Now, I can't speak for nowhere else, but if it happened at Heartland, oh yeah, I'd say it. Yes, sir. We need to sit down and get this thing worked through. Nobody was crucified for you. That's why we were all called to unity. The other thing that I want to spend just a little more time talking about, and then we will go through some of the questions that I wanted to talk about. But we have one authority to appeal by the name of our Lord, is to invoke his character and his authority. I should be able to appeal to anybody on this call to a call to unity, because I'm representing the character and the authority of our Lord. You should be able to come to me and say, Brother Red, we can't do this. Jesus is the perfect person with the highest authority that God can give. Jesus affirms in Matthew 28, 28, 28, 18, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And do y'all know what the very next thing he said was? Go make disciples. How can we go make disciples when we're not acting like disciples? Disciples from whom? Disciples for Jesus, who alone has all the authority in the church. In Matthew 28, 20, whose commands should disciples obey? Teaching them to observe all things that I, Jesus, have commanded you. Sometimes we think we got something to say about what happens in church. We got some things that this is what I feel. What does Jesus say? What does he say? Then, Brother Reg, you need to have a seat. If, in fact, I can't invoke Jesus's character and his authority by the things that I say and do, then I probably shouldn't be saying it and doing it. Now, such complete and absolute authority settles the issues associated with unity. So if you really want to be unified, then we need to go back to what Jesus says in the word. For example, Paul's appeals is that you all agree. It's more literally that you speak the same thing. That's what he's saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Which same thing should they speak? The same thing their one Lord teaches them to speak. The scriptures teach us his way of speaking. So in correcting their party spirit, Paul points to what's written. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians 4, 6. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. See, we should go with what the Bible teaches. Let the Bible speak for us and to us. And then we need to humble ourselves so that we can be in unity, Sister Clark. And Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, he says, be united in the same mind. By whose authority? By Jesus's. I don't have any authority and you don't either. Which mind should we share? Should we unite on my ideas or your ideas? Neither. Unite by sharing the same mind, the one mind of our Lord, the one Lord. Is that possible? Surely. The Lord does not command us to do which cannot be obeyed. So sometimes we have such a need to be right sometimes that we forget that we need to be united in the same mind. Paul says in Philippians 2, verses 2 and 5, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind, having this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And what I submit to us is learn, Sister Tina, this. If there's a disagreement, let your heart, let your mind align with the mind of our Lord and what he teaches in scripture. So often, we just want to have our mind our way. If we want to be united, Sister Katrina Stafford, we need to learn to humble ourselves and look to unite. Look to find a way to be one. I want to hear from somebody. Who do I want to hear from? Sister Blaze, you sitting there looking like you listening. So I call on you. What's your thoughts? I'm coming to you guys off and on here, so just kind of halfway stay ready.
I like it, lad. I got a plenty of notes of what you said, and everything is good. And that last comment you made about find ways to unite, to me, that's love right there. Because when I think about the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's no division in nothing they did, nothing they said. So we have to just find ways to unite, and things that we don't necessarily see the same things on, that spirit is going to unite us, you know. And you started off by saying, I think you put it, we were added to the unity.
Absolutely.
We don't create unity. We add it to the unity. So we have to find Whatever it needs, we need to find is within that unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you're bringing a lot of good points.
And here's my thing. This is a position that we need to learn today. I love you, Brother Paul, more than what you did. You know who's the character is that? You know who has that character? Jesus. That's the same character that we ought to incorporate in our thinking in the church. Because if there's any one person to say that you haven't ever done something that you wish you hadn't have done, you just did it tonight because you lied. I'm telling you right now, there's a time where you're going to need to forgive, and there's a time where somebody's going to need to forgive you if you stay in the church. But look to be united by the authority and the character of our Lord. Paul gives the same instruction to the immature Christians at Corinth, and I want to talk about that just for 1 second. Paul says to those Christians at Corinth, that he give the same instruction to the immature Christians at Corinth and to more mature Christians at Philippi. He says the key to unity is not our relative maturity, whether you're younger in the faith or old. What matters is our direction. Are we committed to following one Lord? Are we really learning his mind? Reflecting Ephesians 4:15, are we growing up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ? One body church has one head. The spiritual family remains united when led by one Father through his one Son. The kingdom unity depends on loyalty to one King. God's flock gathers behind his one shepherd. Listen to this in John 14, 10, rather 14 through 16. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also. And they listen to me, and they listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Just for edification, he's talking about the Gentiles. He's not talking about other churches. And then in 3.4, rather, I want to talk about other voices. Why in today's Christian world are there so many divisions? Quite simply, many are listening to other voices. The Good Shepherd speaks with one clear voice. And I want to say that again. The Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus, speaks with one clear voice. His true sheep respond to his voice, which results into one flock. Now, for example, many in traditional religions, they let family history make their choices for them. While we honor our parents, they're not the good shepherd. He warns us all. In Luke 14, 26, he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own mother or father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So when you start hearing people talking about, but that's, that's what mama was. That's what mama did. You got to give that up. There's one shepherd. That's the Lord. Our love for our Lord should be so great that by comparison, we seem to hate our family. I'm not saying that, of course, that's not what Jesus is saying. I'm saying by comparison, of course, Jesus teaches us to love them. But if we reverse the order, then our misguided love can destroy both us and them. Your ancestors and relatives, listen, cannot stand in your place at the judgment.
Right.
They cannot save you. They cannot be made gods above the one God. They cannot be treated as Lord above the one Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Corinthians 8, 6, the Bible says, for there is one God, the Father, from whom all things, and for, I'm sorry, and from, I'm sorry, and whom all things,
I
and for exist, whom we exist, rather, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. So even our family members, listen, must take a distant second to him in our lives. Yeah, but see, that's mama. I hear you. I hear you. Love her, but don't put mama above the Lord. We must consciously listen to the Lord's voice, not theirs. The same applies to our dear friends, popular preachers, revered church leaders, denominational authorities, expert scholars, and people who claim visions and prophetic powers, all of those people too. Can I tell y'all something? They're not the Lord. You spend your time listening to Jesus and let his voice overrule everybody you know, including Brother Red. Finally, let's look at discernment. To which voice are you listening to? Discernment is especially important in view of biblical warnings and prophecies. So my question to us is this. Do traditions still push aside God's commandments? Do men still make up their own religious rules and regulations and you listen to it? Do their respective rules conflict with each other and cause believers to be divided? The one Father, I stopped to tell y'all tonight, the one Father, and he's going to provide for us the solution to today's religious confusion. You know what the solution is? His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
His title is Lord. When we truly honor him as our Lord, then we maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Many people, in summing up our lesson, are disappointed in Jesus because he has not brought world peace. They think his reign failed or never began, but the scriptures paint a totally different picture. The Christ rules in the midst of his enemies. He reigns right now and until his enemies are subdued, but his reign is not forced on people. For whom then is the promised peace and unity? For those who come to Christ, listen, who hear his voice, who walk in his rules,
nothing.
Which
I
is to
I
say,
if
okay, I'll say this again. Somebody needs to mute, if you would, please. Who come to Christ, who hear his voice, who walk in his rules, which is to say, for those within his kingdom who submit to his reign. You know why? Because they have the same mind, the mind of Christ. They speak the same things, the word of Christ. They take seriously the warnings against other voices that put them in different directions. They don't create unity by human effort. Rather, they fit into unity already inherent in following the one Lord. And what I say to us is this. Church, listen. Don't let anybody convince you anywhere to do anything other than follow the one Lord. And I will also ask us and encourage us to do this. Know God's word. And don't put yourself above anybody. And don't listen to anybody who's not saying what the Bible teaches. Because if you do, you're not going to be in harmony with the teachings of our Lord. I'll stop there for a second. Sister Eva, what's your thoughts? I'm coming to you guys now.
We just have to learn to put God first and leave the rest behind, or else we're going to be in trouble.
Amen. Sister James.
Well,
I don't know whose it is, but somebody needs to mute. Has got a bunch of noise. Okay, go ahead.
You gave us a lot of good stuff tonight, Brother Red, when you said Christ is not divided. Christ is not divided, never has been, never will be. Also, what struck me was that we can't make disciples of anybody if we're not acting like a disciple. It just cannot be done. We should look for ways to foster unity. Mm-hmm. And I have seen a lot of division in the Lord's church. I mean, a lot, you know. And it all stems from, I gotta be right. I got to be right. Instead of going to the Word and see what the Lord said, you know.
So, amen. And I can't stress enough to learn to look to be unified. Mm-hmm. And if somebody needs to be right, let them be right. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to just argue with them because you're on your way to heaven. Stay right there. I'm not going to sit around and argue with nobody on this call. It's not that important. Long as you don't have the ability to say, depart from me, I never knew you. I'm gone about my business. Just the whole, what's your thoughts?
Speaking on the topic of the voices, what I got out of that is whenever you said that the good shepherd speaks with one clear voice, if we would keep that in mind and like you said, study the word and know the word, then the unity is already there. You'll fit right in because you know the word and you're listening to that one clear voice, which is Jesus.
Amen. The other thing I want to tell y'all, we've been practicing the virtues for a long time. Many of you have. Well, that's how you learn how to live. It's when you learn to practice to be kind, when you learn to practice to be gentle, humble, patient, forgiving, and loving. Sister Tina, what are your thoughts?
I enjoyed the lesson tonight. And my takeaway is we have one Lord. We have one heaven, one hell, one authority, one word, and that's the word of God, one will, and that is the will of God. And all of these things are unified as one. And what Christ did on the cross unifies us with God. And we shall all come together as sisters and brothers, as one, and be unified in love.
Amen. And look to be unified. Sister Navi?
Christ is not divided, neither should we as Christians. If we all unite around Christ's authority, then there should be no division. As I said, one Lord, one faith, one God. And so as Christians, we should strive to keep that unity, which we did not create, but is there for us to enjoy.
Amen. And I can't stress to you guys enough, look to love. Look to love each other. Because when you learn to love people, really love people for real, Sister Brown, you're going to give a lot of grace. You'll give a lot of grace when you truly love somebody. Now, I can say this because I have biological sisters on this call. They know I'm not going to stay mad at them. I couldn't. Ain't no way I'm going to be mad at Danny or more than 10 minutes. Or Sheila. I'm just not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I love them more than that. And that's what we ought to learn to do in the church. Sister Body, what are your thoughts?
I'm sorry, I had to get off mute. I was looking back over my notes, and we started out with Jesus being fundamental to our Christian unity.
Mm-hmm.
So, one Lord, if we're trying to follow Jesus and what he says for us and what is expected of us, then we'll be fine. It's when we're listening to man that we are not fine and we are confused.
Amen. Sister Lee, what's your thoughts?
I really like this lesson. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to take any notes while I was driving, but you know, when I think of unity, I obviously it's one. And with that one, that's all that we need. One Lord, you know, one God, one authority.
Amen. And one of the things we need to quit bringing into the church is I got my own opinion. Stop that. We listen to one voice and everybody else's opinion lines with his. Sheila, what are your thoughts?
This really was a good lesson. My goodness. I just agree that basically with what everybody has said, and I just think, you know, as Christians, we just need to be mindful of the fact that we are really just to follow God on the daily, and we need to quit trying to be God and just pray that he will direct our lives in the way that we should be, to be more like him. And that's to go to heaven. And if we're struggling and striving to go to heaven, then that's what our ultimate goal is. And we're going to love everybody or Amen. You know, to get to heaven.
Amen. Well stated. Sister D, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that you can't be unified and actually be in a state of chaos. So it goes back to everyone being humble enough that no matter what's going on, to love each other, respect each other, and be a one in unity.
Amen. Brother Paul, what's your thoughts? What's your thoughts? Brother Paul? I'll come back. Annie, what's your thoughts?
I too think this was an excellent lesson, and thing I think we have to keep in mind that as every Christian, we have to make efforts to maintain spiritual unity in Christ by focusing on reflecting God's love and his true purpose for us in our lives.
Amen. And amen. Brother Paul? Sister Katrina? Go ahead, Brother Paul. Sister Katrina Stafford?
I like how you said that Jesus died in Calvary so that we can be unified in his kingdom. And it just really ties back. If we know the reason and his purpose for dying, then we will have the mindset of always looking to be unified. And also we will realize that he is the one true voice. And the points that you brought out, it just made me think how now I see why there is so much division, is because people egos, people opinions, and people feelings, but instead we should be listening to God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, people, when I tell people or people that I preach, oh, well, where's your church? I don't have one. And no other preacher does. Some of them think they do. Sister Brown, what are your thoughts? Are you talking tonight? You feeling okay?
Good evening, everybody. I am just I am just blown away by this lesson. I really needed to hear it. And like everyone else said, I'm taking away unity. Absolutely. I am taking away from this lesson unity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't y'all know God is not going to send any other representative? It's us. And what we show the world is a picture of God's character and his authority. And if we show the world sometimes the way we act, it's not a very good picture. Brother Scott, what are your thoughts?
Well, it is a good study. And, you know, I'm kind of new to the Bible the last couple of years as far as getting into it. And I like the idea of one Lord and one, you know, word. Where I'm a little confused is we have one Bible, one word of God that was given us, but there's one reason there might be division and stuff. And I don't want to lead a person in error if I'm talking about things like the scripture might be talking about apples, but somebody says that's really not apples. You're supposed to take it as oranges. So I don't want to give somebody, am I making sense? I don't want to be in error. And I guess I don't understand sometimes where you should take it literally, but not take it literally. So again, I'm a lot newer than a lot of you people in Bible study. And that's kind of a big question in my mind.
Okay. I'll tell you the easiest way to not misrepresent what the Bible teaches is this. Whatever the Bible meant to those original recipients that you're reading about, whatever it meant to them, it means the same thing to us here and now. Mm-hmm. Whatever it meant to them then and there, the fancy word is exegesis. But the application is whatever it meant to them then and there. When Paul is writing a letter to that church at Corinth, whatever he's talking about, he's not talking about apples and oranges. He's talking about something specific. He's addressing something specific. And whatever he's addressing and whatever he gives them the directions then and there, it's applicable to us here and now.
I agree. It's like back in Isaiah, you know, that passage, and I've heard it throughout my life off and on, you know, about the lion will lay down with the lamb. And the such and such, and I've always been told that that will be like an actual physical time. But anyway, I don't want to detract from anything else. It's just that I want to know how I can know better.
Well, I'll tell you what. Sense. One of the things those are good questions. When is it literal? And what you'll have to do in the Old Testament, oftentimes, is see what they're talking about in it. Oftentimes you'll see them talking about something in the future, but if you give me a specific, get something and bring it with you Thursday, and then we'll look at that specifically, and then we can look.
Yeah, I don't want to take any more of your time. I'm newer than.
No, you were fine. So
you're great a lot question. I agree with everybody else. If we show, if we're going to heaven, and it's a subject of misinterpretation, maybe, but. They're going to heaven and I'm going to heaven. We show them love. We show unity. What's that scripture? Love covers all
multitude of things.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe that's what we should rest our, you know, how we deal with folks.
Absolutely. Just kind of speak where the Bible speaks. That's what we do.
Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you, Brother Scott. Brother, Sister Marlo, what are your thoughts?
So my thought is one of the points, great lesson here. So one of the points you have presented was that we represent the character of our Lord.
Amen.
And if we represent the character, then one of his characteristics is a unity, love, togetherness. So we should strive for that at all times. And sometimes while we stray because we are listening to too many different voices, and his voice is the only one that we should adhere to.
Amen. And just go with what the Lord says. There is some, Sister Angela, what's your takeaway?
Good night, Brother May. My takeaway is you said we have to be united by the command and the authority of our Lord. Our Lord, one Lord, one God. And we also have to be united in the same mind. And I like you said, all of us on this call, we are from different congregations, but we are one. So
Amen.
Even where we go to, we have to try and find a church to worship. So
find the church that listens to that one voice. That's what you want to find. Someone is on the Glaze's iPhone. I don't know who that is. Number two. And Brother Tim, I'm coming to you. Okay.
I'm gonna give my response right now. I'm sorry. My bad.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll come back to Glaze's iPhone number two. I'll be back in 1 second. Brother Tim, go ahead. And then Sister Clark, I'm coming to you.
Like I said, this is a great lesson. It's just sad that, like you said, there's dividence within the church on most occasions, like man-made churches and stuff like that, dividing from churches of Christ. There's a reason why is because, you know, people in this era want to go for show and to be unbored and stuff like that. That's why they want to use instruments and stuff like that. They think by ways of churches of Christ is boring because it's just we sing a cappella way, even though it says in Colossians 3:20, sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs to God within thankful hearts. But a lot of people, you know, like you said, they want to go their man-made ways and prideful, arrogant ways, and you know, they're going to be accountable for that. And that's why we're doing it the right way. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen and amen. I will tell you all this, though. Paul is going to talk directly to the church most of the time. He's talking to us. Okay. Who did I leave out? My brother Hayden. Sister Sylvia, I'm coming.
Yeah, so this reminded me of what you'd mentioned last week with Isaiah 9:6, where Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. And then it also reminded me of Luke 2:14 that says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. So that goes with your point tonight, saying that peace has come to earth, but it's to those of whom he's pleased with.
Amen. Sister Murray.
It's a good lesson, great lesson, Brother Red. Great lesson. I enjoy every moment of it. And my takeaway is Christ needs us to be of the same mind. And the only way we can be of the same mind is to listen to the good shepherd and follow him and be united. And the only way we're going to be united is through love.
Mm-hmm.
We have to love each other. Otherwise, there's not going to be any unity. You're not going to be, cannot be united without, because, and he said, Christ is not divided. So that's the biggest takeaway from it. We cannot divide ourselves from the Good Shepherd. He's not divided.
Amen. I think I got everybody. If I didn't, somebody speak. If not, who's singing tonight?
Okay, Brother Glaze here.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Yes, I enjoyed your lesson, a beautiful lesson. And first of all, Max, is this being recorded? Is there any way I can get a recording of it?
It will be online tomorrow. Go to heartlandchurchofchrist.org.
Okay. Yes, but a beautiful lesson once again, and thank you so much for bringing forth the word. And on the, what I got out of the unity, as you were bringing forth the word, It just kind of got me to look at myself, you know, and see that as we you just brought forth the word where I meet myself personally, where I need to give more grace and more love, you know, even though you think we always think we're doing good, but we can do better, you know, to promote unity. You know, we've been added to unity. Now we need to do all we can to continue to promote that unity with our brothers and sisters, and that the world may see that we are truly his disciples.
Amen.
And also kind of put me back as the word when you know how Jesus took the Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, and they got all excited, you know, just paraphrase, they got all excited and everything. They want to make tabernacles for all Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, but then God spoke up and said, "Hear ye him. This is my well-beloved son, hear ye him," you know, and that's what we should do, just hear our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that one voice. And I think we can come to unity. We just hear that one voice. We kind of mute our voice. We mute our voice and hear Jesus' voice.
Brother Clays, I couldn't have said it no better. Sister Clark, what's your takeaway?
Father Red, you're such a good teacher.
God is good.
We can't pick our own word. We always like to put our 2 cent word in, but God, we have to obey what God says. We have to. If we want to be saved, we have to do what he says.
Absolutely, Sister Clark. Who's singing? Sister Holcomb, you singing? Annie, what's the virtue?
Joy.
Joy. Okay. And you guys, next week, if you would read, next week, what I want y'all to read next week, I want y'all to read Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And we're going to look at part one of One Spirit. That's what we're going to look at. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And Sister Holcomb, if you would sing, and then Brother Paul, if you would lead us in a closing prayer.